when two or three or more become one, when individual self is gone, when separation broken down, when of unity all thoughts come from, when lives without within in unison begin to spin, when synchronicity wonder works and no thing there which end one irks, then, dear friend, contemplate this wonder which common life does rend asunder. So this is part of a small poem that I wrote some time ago about the topic of synchronicity, which will be the topic of today's talk. To be precise, the topic will be synchronicity as a patana condition, wherein the word synchronicity will be my translation of the Pali word sahajata. Now there are various meanings, various translations for the word sahajata. Literally it means something like born together, and it's often called co-nascent condition, which means something like born together. But it also can mean something like coexistence. It can mean something like being of the same nature, being of the same birth, not being of the same nature, being akin in nature. So I chose the word synchronicity, which literally means something like, now the word chronos means time, and so means something like together. So it means something like together in time, which is something like coexistence. So one reason I chose this translation is, on the one hand side, because it fits quite well with many statements about this patana condition that we can find in the text, and also because the word synchronicity is already an established fact in psychology, where it has a slightly specific meaning, which I want to talk about later on. But in here, I want to treat it as a universal condition, as like a universal pattern in existence that can be found throughout the main categories of the Abhidhamma of matter, mind, and consciousness. That is the main reason why I called it synchronicity, because it's a universal principle. It can be found throughout all existence, which is the meaning and usefulness of the patana conditions to describe patterns in reality, to describe certain structures, you know, certain things, certain ways how mind, matter, and consciousness operate, or how matter, mind, and consciousness exist. So let's begin. The first aspect, you know, that I usually tried to talk about when talking about any of the patana conditions is matter. So each of the patana conditions should be related to the three main components. Now, there are four ultimate truths, four ultimate realities in Abhidhamma: matter, mind, and consciousness, and Nibbana as a fourth. But because Nibbana stands kind of outside the sphere of phenomenal existence, it is having a special role. So it's usually not in the domain of the patana conditions, or the patana conditions usually do not apply to the idea of Nibbana directly. Although we can say that these are about contemplating existence. So the role Nibbana plays in this always is that Nibbana is the goal towards which the contemplation is directed. So that is, we are not contemplating things just for their own sake. We are contemplating phenomenal existence in order to transcend phenomenal existence. And the factor of transcendence is Nibbana. So, but the first aspect to consider is matter. So synchronicity in matter can be observed when we observe, for example, the condition of sound. That is one phenomena where it is perhaps the easiest to understand the condition of synchronicity. So when you have a sound and some material is vibrating in resonance with its sound. So resonance is principally a synonym for the word synchronicity. It's one way of considering about synchronicity. So if you have various things, various phenomena, which exist in a special relationship, not necessarily to each other, but which exist in a special condition wherein many phenomena of a similar kind work in the similar way. Now you produce a sound maybe in a metal room, for example, and then the whole room of metal, all items of metal that are surrounding you, now they start all resonating to the same pattern of the sound. Now they start vibrating in accordance with the vibrations of the sound. And that is called synchronicity. When everything is in the same kind of vibrational frequency, everything happens in a similar way. Everything follows the same kind of pattern. Or maybe as another example, for example, you put many of these pendulum clocks on one wall. You know, these clocks which have the pendulum swinging back and forth underneath, now the old style clocks. So you put many of these clocks onto the same wall. And initially they will all swing in a different manner. Now when at one clock the pendulum is on the left side, on another clock the pendulum might be on the right side, something like that. So you have these, you have various of such pendulum clocks hinged onto one wall. So with time, all these pendulum clocks will become synchronized. So after some time, they all will have their pendulum swing in the same manner. So with every of the pendulum clocks, all the pendulums will together swing to the left, then all the pendulums will swing to the right. So this is an example of how synchronicity works. Or maybe as a further example, for example, you strike a very simple musical instrument of a triangle. It's a metal triangle that you hold and you hit with a kind of metal sort of stick. And you have two of these and you put these about 10 meters away from each other and you hit one with the metal stick and the other will vibrate in the same frequency without being ever hit as the one which you hit. So you hit one of these with a little metal stick and the other one, which is 10 meters away, perhaps even further, it will start vibrating in accordance with the same frequency. Even it is never hit. So that is another example of how synchronicity works. So in that case, synchronicity means resonance. Then you have synchronicity of living things, wherein one of the easiest discernible examples will be the patterns a flock of birds take. Now, if you see, a flock of birds, maybe 10, 20 or so birds all flying in a certain pattern, either like a triangle or in some kind of symmetrical manner, that is one example of synchronicity in living things. Now, a similar thing you have with fish. Now, if you ever saw, some documentary of huge swarms of fish, all circling together, all having the same distance to each other, and moving in this kind of pattern, all moving together, they are all synchronized. But even in plants, you have certain synchronicities. Now, apart from the synchronicities, which are kind of triggered by either by the seasons or by the day-night cycle, or the flowers open up together at the same time and close together at the same time, there are many other synchronicities amongst plants too. For example, if one plant gets attacked by a certain predator, say by a bug, then it will kind of send out some signal. It will suddenly, all the surrounding plants will develop some kind of natural pesticide for that bug, for example, in a natural environment, like in a forest. Or there's one story I've heard about elephants, wherein if you have a group of elephants grazing or feeding on a group of trees, within 20 minutes, all the surrounding trees of the same kind will develop some bitterness and some slight poison in their leaves. So that the elephants already will know that they graze on the front trees, but they don't bother going further in that area, moving to the trees nearby. Rather, they will go much further and then maybe at a much further place start feeding on trees again. So there's this kind of communication amongst trees and amongst plants. And that is another example of synchronicity, wherein things happen together. Things are attuned to each other, or entities are attuned to each other. So that are a few examples of synchronicity in relation to the animal and to the plant life. But then let's go on and see how synchronicity plays out in the human realm, in the world of human beings. Now, synchronicity in relation to the human realm, you have principally in all harmonious group activities, like a sports game, a basketball game, a football game. People are all attuned to each other, ideally. And this attunement to each other is turning different individual entities doing different activities into one collected whole. It is no more anymore different people doing different things. It is all are attuned to the same game. And of course, now talking about group activities, this of course includes also, for example, group meditations, or people in a monastery, or more generally religious communities, wherein there is a possibility of the individuals become something more than each individual is capable of being or not. And when people do harmonize and do become attuned to each other, are sensitive to each other, then this force of synchronicity can happen. Now then this condition of synchronicity between people, between the group, between the members of the group, unifying the group, can happen. Now that is why often group meditations can be very helpful, because you tune in one energy field wherein the energy of the group can help you to move upwards, if you're open and if you can attune to it. Similar thing you have in music, for example, wherein all the different instruments, all the different players of different instruments have to work together to form a new harmony. The same with any art. For example, an architectural masterpiece. They have all the different items of the building will have to be attuned to each other. The columns need to be adapted to the shape of the general building. the windows have to be adapted to everything. So now this kind of harmonious merging together of different parts into one whole, now this is again an expression of synchronicity. Or for example, love, now true love between two human beings, or even friendship. Now it is because two beings become attuned to each other. So they cease to be just individual people, two individual entities, but rather they merge into becoming one partnership, one team, which is ideally something new and something better than the individual parts. So, and that is only possible because of this synchronicity between different things. And now there we can already see a little bit that the synchronicity is not just some phenomena in nature which we can just witness or fail to witness. Rather, synchronicity is something that we can create. Now, that is principally the meaning of art, now, to create harmonies. And harmonies are principally just this finding of a more ideal attunement between different things and different parts. Then we have as another phenomenon in which synchronicity plays out the phenomenon of the mind. And there, to start somewhere, we might start off by thinking about the influence of the moon, perhaps even of the planets, but most specifically the moon, on people's emotion. So now it has been proven by science already that the moon has a strong influence on people's emotions. So now usually during full moon times there occurs more crime, for example, than during times of new moon. Or now the moon has a power to move the oceans. Now the occurrence of the tides, now the ebb and flow of the oceans, these are controlled by the moon. And now our own body is made up of more than 60% water. So we can see a certain reason why the moon has such a powerful influence also on humans and on human emotion. And that is also something that we count under this condition of synchronicity, because the condition of human beings being attuned to the forces produced by the moon, now this is an occurrence of synchronicity. But now there are higher forms of mind, there are higher forms of mentation, with which I most specifically mean the process of thinking in that instance. Now thinking requires ideas, and ideas are usually not something that everyone possesses their own ideas. Generally speaking, ideas are collective things. So we have ideas about religion, we have ideas acquired through science about the universe, we have ideas about politics, we have ideas about society, we have national prejudices, now we have national ways of thinking, that is ideas about our own identity in an extended sense, but of course also in a narrow sense. So many ideas that we possess are not our individual property. We share them with many other people. And now this fact of having shared ideas with many people is what attunes us to other people. Now it makes us receptive for communication with others. And it makes us attunable. It makes many people attunable, which is now kind of a synonym for synchronicity. Now many people attuning to one and the same frequency, or in this case, one and the same idea. So you have many people thinking about their religion, about one particular religion. This kind of makes them one entity, not like a whole brain made up of many neurons thinking about a certain thing makes one mind. So, and in a certain sense, all humanity combined is in a certain sense the brain of the earth. Now, we are the neurons of this earth. Now, we are the thinking part of this earth. And similar to the brain in a body, ideally, all kind of neurons fire together. All kind of neurons work together. Now, if there's a big idea, then a much larger part of the brain. Now, if there's a big idea that can be comprehended, that can be worked on, that is suitable for the brain, then a much larger part of the brain starts working. And many parts of the brain start working together. And that is something obviously we also want to achieve in matters of humanity. But of course, similar as with a brain, if you have some small idea that doesn't really involve you, that doesn't really involve the wholeness of you, then also only a small part of your brain becomes activated and it's easy forgotten, that idea. So a great idea can synchronize more entities. And that applies internally and externally. That is, neurons in the brain or human beings on the planet. Then we have as the next example of synchronicity on the level of the individual. That is a kind of synchronicity that is usually talked about in Western psychology. And that refers to the phenomenon of an individual having happenings in his life which appear utterly attuned to his mind, or more specifically to certain topics that he was carrying in his mind. For example, a person is looking for a job and he has certain ideas of what kind of job he would like to have. And then out of the blue, he sees in the bus, for example, next to him, there's still an old paper on which on the front page, some kind of job offer peeks out to him. And then he's taking that and everything works out so super perfect. And his whole life changes and becomes wonderful because of this incident. Now, this is kind of one example where the outer happenings are, or at least appear to be, attuned to a person's mind. So from a Buddhist perspective, we would either say that such type of occurrence happened because of some deva, some divine being, some angel, or in Buddhist language, a deva, either because of some past life connection or because he developed some inspiration in that person, or maybe because he saw the mind of that person and he developed some affinity and some affection for that person or some compassion for that person, and because of that, that divine being or heavenly being tried to help that person. Now, that is one way of looking at it. But from another perspective, we also can say that because of that person's Dhamma practice, because that person might have acquired some spiritual ideas, and based on these kind of spiritual ideas or loftier ideas about life, he habitually purifies his emotion, or he might have done that even since childhood. Maybe he might be a very good person throughout. And because of that loftiness of his condition, because of the loftiness of his state of being, of his natural state of being, or because he off and on can touch a more lofty state of being. Because of that, he attunes to a loftier sphere of existence. Now he attunes to the reality of the devas. Now the devas are not as much subject to the limitations of the material world. Now even they might still be in contact with the material world, but now we can say in a certain sense that now the gravity of matter is not having such a heavy impact on them as it has, for example, on a stone. And because of that, their thoughts manifest more quickly, their desires are more easily fulfilled. And a person who purifies himself and a person who is becoming more and more divine, more and more of a loftier nature, of a divine nature, he equally comes under this more lofty set of laws. He purifies his being, and because of that, equally, the gravity of coarse matter will have less of an impact on him. And now, of course, this tuning into loftier laws and tuning into loftier states of existence is obviously also something that the meditator is trying to cultivate. A meditator tries to deliberately create this type of condition by, for example, changing his perception of matter, by refining his body, refining his feelings, refining his thoughts. Through these things, a person shifts to a loftier condition of existence, wherein loftier conditions apply, wherein loftier laws apply, wherein life becomes easier, wherein thought manifests more quickly, wherein desires are more easily fulfilled. So now this is this attuning to the conditions which are akin to the deva world, akin to the fine material world, or akin to the world of light, which is a higher place from which one can more easily gain a proper perspective on everything that's below it, which is a very helpful condition for any person who seeks to gain enlightenment. Even more so for a person who seeks to gain, at the very least, enlightenment regarding the material world. That is a comprehensive understanding of the material world and the world of humans, the world of physical nature, material things. These all can be comprehended much easier from such higher condition. So maybe just as a recap, so that what I just said can be more easily remembered. So I talked about synchronicity in relation to matter, where I defined it as this capacity of several objects, several material objects, vibrating in accordance with a certain frequency, especially sound frequency, of which the most simple example would be metal objects vibrating in accordance with the sound frequency. After that, I talked a little bit about synchronicity in relation to life. First, I talked about synchronicity in relation to plants, wherein I gave an example of many plants blooming at the same time, the many flowers opening up and close in a very synchronized manner based on the day and night cycle. Or another example would be the shedding of the leaves during autumn season. Now these are examples where plants are synchronized to to the seasons, no, to the weather conditions. It's a rather simple example. Then I gave some examples of synchronicity that can be found in the animal kingdom, when I talked about that in a flock of birds, many birds are synchronized to each other. Now they fly in a certain pattern. Then I explained a similar phenomenon in human life, where many members of a sports team, for example, function as a unity and become synchronized, all functioning as a team and not functioning anymore as such as individual entities. So all the members of a football team or basketball team, for example, are synchronized. Afterwards, I talked about synchronicity in relation to the mind. Especially, I talked about how many human beings become synchronized when they adopt a certain set of ideas, a certain set of beliefs, either religious beliefs or political beliefs, resulting in the attunement of many human beings to that idea or to that set of ideas and to each other as a group. Not like a religious group becomes synchronized and it starts to function as one mind, we can say. Not like many neurons in the brain start firing when a certain idea arises in the mind, and many neurons kind of make up one mind, make up one state of mind or make up one idea. And then at last, I talked a little bit about synchronicity on the level of the individual, where I refer to a phenomenon that is in modern psychology most specifically referred to as synchronicity. And that is the condition wherein the outer cosmos, the outer world, appears to be somewhat attuned to a certain person's mind, in that a person has a thought, has some idea in his mind, and seemingly without any connection, certain things happen without, in the outer world, in the material world, that appear to be something like answers to the question or the desire that arose in the person's mind. Now, I don't want to repeat again the example that I mentioned then, but maybe as another example is when a person thinks of a friend, for example, and within 1 hour or 2 hours, that friend starts calling him. So this is just another example of synchronicity in relation to the individual. And then at last, I tried to a little bit make the point that synchronicity is a certain condition that a meditator is trying to deliberately cultivate and deliberately train in. So of course, there are many other examples of synchronicity, but with this talk, I just tried to introduce or try to a little bit explain this phenomenon and how it can be understood as a patana condition, which functions throughout the whole of existence, especially in relation to Abhidhamma. It can be found in material phenomena, mental phenomena, and in relation to consciousness. And with this, I just want to leave this small introduction.